Song of Solomon. I'm going to read several passages throughout the Song of Solomon and sort of bundle up into a bundle some things we've been discussing. I'm going to talk tonight on the subject, time together for a husband and wife. Time together for a husband and wife. Chapter 1 and verse 7 is my first verse. All the verses I read will have to do with some way that a husband and wife should spend, or at least this husband and wife spent time together. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, or why should I be as one that turneth aside with the flocks of thy companions? The insinuation there is that the lover wanted to eat. They wanted to eat together. It says, tell me where thou feedest, and says, it's a shame for me not to be with you while we eat. Now look at chapter 2 and verse 4. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Once again, they're talking about the couple eating together. The first place, the regular routine type of meal, and the second place, a special kind. Eating out, if you please, or at the banquet house, or at the restaurant. And then now look, please, if you would, to chapter 7 and verse number 10. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let me stop right there. Sounds like to me that the bride is suggesting that they go spend the night somewhere. Let us lodge in the villages. Let's take a little trip together. Let's have a brief vacation together. And then in verse number 12, let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear, and the pomegranates budded forth. Therefore, I will give thee my loves. They're sharing interest together there. They're sharing nature together, and so forth. Now look at chapter 8 and verse number 2. I would lead thee and bring thee into my mother's house, who would instruct me. I would call thee to drink of the spiced wine of the juice of my pomegranate. And there, the bride is saying to the bridegroom, let's go visit my mother. And of course that thrills the bridegroom no end, I'm sure. And every Bible study has one weak point. And this is it. Our Heavenly Father, bless our study tonight. I thank you that I got three letters today alone. From people that said, my marriage has been enriched, in some cases changed, because of these studies. I pray tonight you'll help me to be a help to the married folks in this room. Please. That's all I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Father, we come to discuss the most practical lesson, I guess, of all. And yet it may be one of the most, if not the most helpful lesson of all. I pray you help me as I teach and help our people as they hear. Please. Amen. I'm going to sort of bundle up in one little package things that we have picked out from the entire study. And I want to talk to you on the subject, time together. I'm going to make 11 statements about that. Under one of those, one or two of them, I have some subheads, but one or several of them, I'll just read them. But I want you to listen to me very carefully. I don't want you to take notes. I want you to let me talk to your mind and let it indelibly be imprinted in your mind. Time together. Number one, the top priority in your house should be time with mom and dad together alone. Let me say it again. You and your wife alone together you and your husband alone together should be the number one top priority in your life. Now you listen. Don't you let your kids steal your time. Don't you do it. Don't you get so busy taking your kids to Little League and piano and all the other stuff. Now I'm saying I'm not against that. I'm not opposed to kids taking piano. I'm not opposed to boys playing Little League. I'm opposed to girls playing Little League, but not opposed to boys playing Little League. I'm not opposed to youth activities and all of that. But I want to say again, whatever you do, you place on the top of the priorities in your home, you and your wife spending time together. By the way, I said top. I said top priority in your home. Number two, be alone together in as many different settings as possible. The average couple doesn't know each other. Now, you ought to get together in not just one little routine, but in as many different settings. I'm going to give you some ideas tonight about some of those settings. Now, the average, listen carefully, the average woman in this room tonight does not know her husband. And the average man does not know his wife. And that is, let me say it again. I preached something out on priorities, on importunity versus importance. Things push themselves on us. Now, you won't be pushed together to spend time as husband and wife. Let me say it again. Listen carefully. The top priority in your home, I'm talking about your children. I'm talking about your family. I'm talking about the top priority is for you and your spouse to spend time alone together. And then, number two, be alone together in as many different settings as possible. Now, please, on the next statement, do not snicker, do not laugh. It may seem that I'm making a mundane suggestion, but I've got to word it this way, so don't laugh when I say it. Number three, go to bed together. Now, I mean at the same time. I promise you tonight a list of things. If you'll do it, I promise you'll do more for your marriage than any other single thing I know of. Now, the husband and the wife ought to retire at the same time. Not only that, 15 minutes together before you go to bed, just getting to know each other, will do you more good than most anything you know. Now, what do you do during that 15 minutes together? Snack. Eat a snack. That's why you guys are lousy husbands. I said, spend 15 minutes with your wife, not a holy grunt. Snack, amen, glory to God, praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen. I feel like such a failure. But I'm not talking about a big snack. Maybe a quarter pound of cheese, a couple of Big Macs, that's all you need. Ms. Hiles and I, at night, almost always, we'll have maybe a little cup of herbal tea, a bottle of beer, you know, just some little something like that. And but we'll have a little cup of herbal tea, maybe. And she likes pretzels, and it goes better with beer than I'm saying. And I drink the tea, by the way. And I like bagels. And so I maybe eat a small bagel or maybe a half a bagel, and maybe she'll eat a few pretzels. But just a little something. Now, what you eat is not the important thing. The important thing is that before it's time to retire, you're spending a few minutes with each other. Now, take about 10 or 15 minutes off your sleep time, and you get to know each other a little bit before you go to bed. A little chat. Or, if you really want to have a little fun, go to the sofa together and just sit there for a while, and that didn't get as much amen as the eat did, by the way. But I'm talking about, look, if you'd go to the sofa and maybe just put your arm around her, she puts her head on your shoulder for a while, and you just tell each other that you love each other. Oh, you said we got too much to do. You'll have time to go to the lawyer one of these days. Please, 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 please listen to me now. You'll have time to go to the lawyer one of these days. I'm saying that little time of chatting, of expression, of appreciation, or if you really want to get cozy, sit in a chair and have her sit in your lap for a little while. But in some cases, that would not be a good idea. I didn't send him to the coast tonight. I didn't send him at all. But I'm saying that, and you won't do this, but that's one reason why you got such a sorry marriage. If you would just take about 10 minutes off of your night's sleep and just have a little chat and focus it a little bit at the end of the day, as I said, maybe a snack, maybe a spot of tea, or a little chat, and by the way, ladies, you won't like this, but it's important. If he works nights and comes in at 3 o'clock in the morning, then you get up. All right, let's go down to the next corner. Hold on, I'm going to see if I can find one you like here somewhere. Now, Tom Malone was preaching last night, and I guess he forgot his outline or something, and I was preaching with him down at the National Bus Convention, he said, I'm going to skip over a few points here, and he kept looking, he said, I got to figure out something to get out of this mess I'm in here. Well, I have the same way here, I got to figure out something to get out of this mess, but I mean that. Now, ladies, look. Here's a guy that comes in at 2 o'clock in the morning from work. You do not understand what it means to that guy if you would get up and welcome him home and take 10 minutes just to chat with him, ask him about the day. It's amazing. It absolutely is amazing how faultless we are of each other. And there's not a man in this room tonight that loves his wife. Well, I better go on right quickly there. I stopped to breathe there at the wrong place, but there's not a man in this room that loves his wife or what wouldn't appreciate it if she got up when he comes home. And before he goes to bed, she spends about 10 minutes with him. And so I said, go to bed together, 10 to 15 minutes before going to bed, a time to chat a little bit. And then I said, number one, the top priority in your home is time between with you and your spouse. I said number two, be alone together in as many different settings as possible. I said number three, go to bed together, and before you go to bed, spend a little time reflecting about the day and chatting with each other. Number four, wake up together in the morning. Or whenever you wake up. Get up together. Wake up together. You'd be shocked if you didn't have any people in this room. Don't go to bed at the same time. And don't wake up. Don't get up at the same time. And by the way, ladies, if he goes to work at 5 o'clock in the morning, fix him some breakfast before he goes to work. Now, hold it. Hold it. That is if you don't go to work. Now, if you have to go to work too, then you have to switch off and figure out somewhere where both of you take care of the other chores also. But the simple truth is, wake up together. Now, I will say this also. When you wake up, and this is very tender talk now, and I want you to not to snicker at it. Small talk and a few sweet caresses between the time you wake up and the time you get up will do a world of good for you. Now, I know I know his feet smell bad and her breath smells bad at that time of day. I know that. But that doesn't make any difference. If you would take just 10 or 15 minutes before bedtime and just talk to each other, get to know each other, and then wake up at the same time, take about 10 minutes for chit-chat, sweet talk, a few caresses, and so forth, it would do you a world of good. I said, number one, the top priority in your home is you and your spouse spending time together. I said, number two, be alone together in as many different settings as possible. I said, number three, go to bed together. Take about 10 to 15 minutes before going to bed. Have a snack, some tea, a chat, or a little tender time with each other. And then if he works nights, man, whatever time he goes to bed, you be with him for a while before he goes to bed, and vice versa. Number four, wake up together. Take about 10 minutes before you get up, and have some small talk and caresses and so forth. Number five, eat together. Eat together. Time and time again, in the Song of Solomon, we have it mentioned that they eat together. They went to the garden and they ate together. They went to the banquet house and they ate together. I believe the curse of American homes today is the fact that the table is almost deserted. Listen to me. By the way, please don't misunderstand, but when it comes to the subject matter I'm talking about, I'm no dummy. I've counseled with more couples having marital problems than any man that's ever lived. I know what I'm talking about. I know. And the average couple having troubles don't know each other. Now, they know somebody else better than know each other. Now, I'm saying eat together. Number one, all the meals that you can possibly eat together, that are eaten at home, eat together. Folks, don't grab a donut and a cup of coffee while you're doing your hair and eat the donut and drink the coffee up in the bathroom. No, go together at breakfast time and sit at the table and eat with each other. I think it'd be a good thing for some men, if you can, to come home for lunch. Now, I realize that's impossible for most of you, but I'm not saying every day. But on occasion, if you just come home for lunch, or let me suggest this, and I've advised literally thousands of ladies to do this, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them have enjoyed it, and so have their husbands. On occasion, take a lunch to his work at lunchtime. And let him come out to the car and sit there in the car and eat lunch together. Little things like that are so vital. I'll get some of those others in a few minutes. Or, if you don't have time for that, drive into work and eat on the way. If some of you ladies whose husbands go to college and they have to go from college straight to work, if it's not too far, you drive into work and eat a sandwich together on the way. And that way you're spending some time together in the car on the way. Or, by all means, eat out together. Now, it doesn't mean you've got to go to the Everest Room in Chicago and spend $60 for a 7-course meal. I hate Keith McKinney. Now let's go on to the next point. Keith McKinney, as you can tell, is the food expert of our staff. He's been in Chicago all of his life. He knows the eating establishments. I asked him to recommend a good place to eat. He suggested the Everest Room. It cost $10 to use the toilet there. A drink of water is $9.95. Would you like to know what our cotton picking bill was? for one stupid meal. We had to mortgage the house. It cost us $125. Now, I'm asking a question. Do I have a perfect right to hate Keith McKinney? You could eat at McDonald's 25 times. And there wasn't a single thing there as good as the cheese quarter pounder. Now, this point is, don't ask Keith McKinney where he will eat. And he asked us one time to go to a rib place on the north side, way on North Chicago. We spent about 2 hours finding that place. It took us weeks to get all the beef out of our teeth, where it stuck in our teeth. I hate it more than I did when I first started talking about it. Now, I tell you what we enjoy doing. We'll go to Burger King and get a Junior Whopper. Whopper Junior. Whopper Junior? Junior Whopper. Whopper Junior. You know, don't you? We'll get a Whopper Junior and this house, we'll get a cold drink or a cup of coffee or something. And we'll go to a park somewhere. Or maybe a forest preserve. And maybe Lover's Lane. We'll take a nap at Lover's Lane, but we go to Lover's Lane. But we'll go and we'll just sit there and watch the ducks or the geese and just eat a sandwich. Now, by the way, you folks can't afford a Whopper Jr. Buy some bologna and bread and take it down and sit there in the park in the summertime. Get out of the car and have a little picnic there. But eat together. I said eat together at home. No meal should be eaten at home alone. Always eat together. And then he could come home for lunch, or she could come to his work, or she could drive to work either way, or eat out. I said number one. I said the top priority in your home is you're spending time with your spouse. I said, number two, be alone in as many different settings as possible. I said, number three, go to bed together, and before you go to bed, take 10 or 15 minutes to get to chat a while and be think about the day and be a little sweet to each other. And number four, wake up at the same time, and don't just jump out of bed, oh, my soul, got to get done. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Take time to nag at him for a while before the day starts. And look at her over there and look at her and speak some sweet words like, you snored last night, or something like that. There's somebody in this room awful worried right now, but I'm not going to say anything. Number six, enjoy God's creation together. How many times in this Song of Solomon did we read about this couple enjoying a garden together, enjoying the flowers together, enjoying the hills together, or the nature together, time in the yard? Look, I know you can't do this except 2 weeks in August, but you can get out 2 weeks in August in the summertime. Get you a little chair for two and put it on the front porch or put it in the backyard or somewhere. And you know, we like to look at the trees. When we moved to where we live now, we planted some little trees about that high. Truth is, I had to be careful, or I'd mow them down. It was way back when I used to mow the yard. My wife was sick, and she couldn't do it. But I'd have to be careful. I'd mow those trees down. Now, those trees, good, not the giant evergreens between our house and the house to the west of us. And I love to look at them. I love to look at the leaves on the trees, and I love to look at the snow on the ground, and I love to look at the flowers, and listen to the birds sing, and we love to watch the squirrels on our fence in our backyard play, and listen to the crickets, and just enjoy. There's so much out there that God's made. What you'll do, dummy, and dumbettes, you'll go to an art gallery and look at somebody's paintings of what you can see the original of yourself. We love to drive through the forest preserves and look for deer. By the way, it doesn't take but 10 minutes. Just to drive through a little drive in the forest preserves and look for deer. We saw one back in 1938 too, by the way. But you think that you got to go to the Everest room, I mean, in order to have a good time. You don't need to do that. You don't need to do it. Take a little. And I'm not even talking about a picnic. Just get a piece of bologna and put it between two pieces of bread and slice it in half and get you some ice water and go out and enjoy God's creation. The psalmist said, "When I consider thy heaven, the work of thy hands, the moon, the stars, thou hast ordained, what is man, thou art mindful of him." How long has it been since you looked at the stars? Well, since last time we had a clear night, I imagine. It was also about 1938, wasn't it? How long has it been since you looked at the clouds? But how long has it been since you just, I'm serious about it, how long has it been since you just enjoyed watching the squirrels play? I know, no big deal. It's a lot cheaper than riding a merry-go-round. A lot cheaper than Six Flags over Germany, wherever it is. Take a walk with each other. Get in the car and drive around. Get to know each other. This Song of Solomon. It must be pretty important to God, because God, this is the eternal word of God. And God put an awful lot about this couple enjoying nature together in this Song of Solomon. Number one, your being with your spouse, time with your spouse, is the top priority in your home. Number two, be alone together in as many different settings as possible. Number three, go to bed together. Take about 10 or 15 minutes before you go to bed and reflect upon the day. Get up together and take a little while before you get up, about 10 minutes, and chat with each other or enjoy some caresses together. And number five, eat together. And number six, enjoy nature together. Number seven, shop together. Number eight. While we're on that, would some lady here stand up and tell me why it takes you so long to try on a dress in the dressing room? I wrote my book on the church on his house. I was trying to dress on it. Now, I'm not saying that you always need to go in the store together. But hey, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with your drive? If your wife is going to go to the let's say she's going to go, she's got to go to the drugstore to get a prescription filled. What would be wrong with you saying, "Let me drive you up"?
And 5 minutes to the drugstore, you wait outside, let her out the door, then you wait outside in the parking area and watch the door for when she comes out, and then drive her home. You had 10 minutes together, and all you did was just drive her up. But see, you don't want to do that. You just stay home and watch Bobby Knight lose another ball game. You're too busy watching the box. Now, the truth is, you'd be amazed how much time you could spend with your wife or with your husband if you'd just take little things like I'm talking about right now. It's not an unusual thing. Or, well, if I'm going to go to the drugstore, Miss Howell, they'd go jump in the car and just drive up with you. Or if she's going to go, I'll drive her up there and let her out. And that's the drugstore. Don't let her out alone at the clothing store. Keep your eyes on her at the clothing store. But shop together. Now, I wouldn't advise you to go grocery shopping together because you too many decisions you can disagree on. She wants Del Monte and you want Green Giant, and before you know it, you're going to have... Push the cart for her. Let her decide. She's going to decide anyway. But let her decide. I'm really hurting right now because I want you to get to know your wife. And I want you to get to know your husband. And the truth is, in this busy, helter-skelter, run, schedule world, we have to force ourselves to spend time together, and so much time is wasted that we could spend together. Number 8, regular dates. By regular, I mean every week. I mean the same time and the same day every week. A regular date. Now, I realize in some cases like that, it would be pretty tough to do. But a couple of hours, at least, maybe more, every week, you have a date. Now, I want to teach you a word that I've taught you before that you've forgotten. It's called babysitter. Babysitter. Say that. Babysitter. Say it. Babysitter. I want you to get to know that word real, real well. Now, you say, well, I can't afford it. Well, I know, for example, that David Morse and Kathleen Boardway, they do it free of charge for anybody that needs their help. And if you're married tonight, you'd want to get her out too. But spend time together. You see, I've talked there's several different things here. You're together driving to work, or maybe together at work during lunch hour, or maybe driving to the store, or maybe eating a sandwich in the park, and then on a date. You need to know each other in as many different settings as you possibly can. Now, folks, there's nobody here any busier than I am. Nobody. There's nobody here any busier than I am. And how can I work it in? No, you work in everything else. This is top priority. This is what you work everything else into. This is the big thing in your home, big thing in your marriage. Years ago, there may be a half dozen people know who this is, but it doesn't matter. About 35 years ago, I'd just become pastor here, a man I didn't even know at the time, except his name, that's all. Came rushing to my office one day, worked over here at one of the factories, or maybe the oil refineries, or maybe the steel mill, some big place over here. And he came off as pale as a ghost. And he said, Brother Hiles, Pastor, I want to confess something. He said, I was
I was in the little snack room today at break time in 10 minutes. And one of our young ladies, I thought this was a young man then. He's a senior citizen now. He's a young man. One of our attractive young ladies was in there too, and she works. Remember my church? And we just were chatting. And I got looking at her lips, and before I knew it, I kissed her. Now, they were just chatting with each other. It may be if you chat with your wife during a 10-minute break, you might decide to kiss her. Don't have to, but you might decide to kiss her. Now, you see, the trouble is, you only know each other in one or two different settings, or one or two different frameworks, or backgrounds. And so, regular dates, on schedule, same day, same time of the day, every week. Now, if you work shift work or have different shifts, you'll have to work it out some way to have some degree of regularity. Number 9, triple together. We're a young couple. President Lincoln was emphasizing this. Nobody's home tonight. But this house and I used to take off one Friday night a month and get a motel. And the motel may not be 10 miles away. We'd just take off one Friday night. And we didn't have any money. We went to a cheap motel. Had an outhouse in the backyard. But we didn't have any money. But one Friday night every month, we may go out to eat. Maybe someplace like in those days, like Howard Johnson. Maybe a sandwich. If we had a little extra money, we might go to someplace a little nicer. But we'd go to a little hotel one night. I want to read for you a statement here, if I can find it, from the Song of Solomon. It said, come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field, let us lodge in the villages. Now, I'm not opposed to taking a little 5-day vacation together. I'm dead sure not opposed to taking about a 3-day vacation. Ladies, don't know what you're going to say. I'd miss the kids. If you take a little trip like that with your husband and you even mention the kids, I'm going to get a lawyer for him and pay the fee for the divorce. Your husband needs to feel like that he's more important than those kids are. And your wife needs to feel the same way. So, a little trips together. Number 10, share interest. Perfect illustration. I was out in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and was preaching out there with Dean Miller and Dr. Bob Greer, and I were preaching together out there, and two or three others. I think there's a young woman out there. And I noticed Bob Gray trying to avoid me. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Brother Ray? He tried to avoid me. And I saw him walking through the hotel lobby at a distance in some sport clothes. I mean, pants and sport shirt. And it's obvious he won't see me. And he told people not to tell me. What had happened was, Bob Gray's taken up golf. And he thought I'd be against it, because I don't play golf. And he didn't want me to know. He thought I'd think he's backslidden. Well, I think he's backslidden, but not because he plays golf. I don't preach against golf. I preach against hunting and fishing and stuff like that. But now, here's what I found out. I found out that Bob Gray had been under tension a little bit, and I think his doctor had suggested he take up golf. So what did his wife do? His wife has had 29 surgeries in the last 30 years, major surgeries. She just glued together. And she couldn't play golf. But she's going to spend some time with that guy. So she drives the cart. how he plays the God. And of course, your problem is you won't get away from it. That's why you go play golf in the first place. But I love that. Dr. Gray, every Friday, plays golf if the weather's good. And his wife drives the car. And she loves it. I was kidding the other day about it. And I said, Ms. Gray, why don't you go to the flower show? Or something like that. And she said, I love to drive that car. I love to drive that car. So share interest together. Then, another thing, number 11, this couple, she said, I took him to my mother's house. I want to say this earnestly now. I do believe that that couples often know their in-laws and have a good relationship with them. It's very important. I had a wonderful mother-in-law, and I mean that. And I had a wonderful father-in-law. And on her deathbed, my mother-in-law told me she loved me. She never told me why she was living, but I had a wonderful mother-in-law and a wonderful father-in-law. We had a good relationship with each other. Now, you need to develop a good relationship with your mother-in-law and father. And by the way, you should never say one negative word about your mother-in-law. Never. Or one negative word about your father-in-law. Ever. You should never criticize the people that brought your spouse into the world. Well, you're just like your mother. You're just like a moron, too. Now, the honest, simple truth is, that's dirty talk. That's dirty pool. That's cheap talk. And the honest, simple truth is, every single married person ought to see to it, have a good relationship with your in-laws. We lived in Texas. My mother lived about 20 miles away, and Mrs. Howe's parents lived about 20 miles away. Friday night was parent night. Every other Friday night, we went to her folks, and we had dinner with them, and every other Friday night, went to my mother's place, and had dinner with her. Every Friday night was parent night. And it is important that you visit your parents together. Now, I want to say this. I do not look with favor on spouses going out of town for days and spending some time with their parents. I don't like that at all. It's not because I happen not to like it. I happen to see where it ends. I see the results of it. I never advise a lady to go spend a couple of weeks with her parents somewhere. I never do. Now, I don't know where I'm going to look right now, but only because I've seen tragedy come of it. I'm thinking about now of a family in this church that got a divorce within the last year. That's where it started. She went to another state and spent time with her mother and her father too. And then she found she enjoyed a little liberty as a single person would. And she took off the yoke of marital responsibilities and found that she enjoyed it. And after a while, she became disinterested and her visits became more frequent and longer, and I'm in trouble, so I'm going to the next thing. Let me give you some ideas. And I'll close. Drive him to work some. Drive him on his bus route. If you don't make a call, just get in the car and drive him as he makes his bus calls. And you can spend time with him between the calls. I know a woman in this church that goes to the barber shop with her husband every time he gets a haircut. And I like that. It sure cleans up some talk in a lot of barbershops, too. I like that. She goes, and okay, so what? She gets to look at him while he's getting his hair cut. And they get to drive together. You'd be surprised how much fun you can have in 10 minutes. Jacqueline, are you up there? Is that Jacqueline? Wave at me. Good. Every once in a while, on a Sunday, if Ms. Howell's son-in-law and my daughter are going to come to our house, they'll drive on out to the house, and Jacqueline will stay and drive with me. And in 10 to 12 minutes, we have a blast. Oh, we have a lot of fun. I wouldn't have said blast, but these kids influence you like that in 10 minutes. I'll act like an old man. It's no big problem. I'll drive like this. We'll come to the corner, and there I slump way down where I can barely see over the edge there. And we'll come to the corner. I'll stop. And in 10 minutes, I like to get her mixed up. Is there no real problem either? She'll make some kind of a statement. I'll say, "Are you in love? Have a boyfriend? Yeah. Are you in love? You love him? Well, no. Well, then you hate him. Bible says you either love or hate." "Well, I don't hate him." "Then you love him. You are in love. You're about to get married." "No, I don't love him." "Then you hate him. The Bible says it's wrong to hate." I've had her so frustrated, she got out and walked the rest of the way to the house. Now, folks, it doesn't take long to have fun. And a wreck. Driver to the grocery store. You students could drive your wife to the grocery store, study in the car. A 15-minute walk. At bedtime. There's 15 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes. At bedtime, if it's summertime, take a walk. Or take a little drive in the car. Here's the thing I'm saying. You look at your schedule, listen carefully, and you find everything that you do alone and see if you can work it in somehow to be together while you do it. That'll change your whole marriage. Let me say it again. Just sit down someday and write down everything that you do by yourself. And then see if there's any way you can do that together. If your wife is studying for an exam, she's in college, just stare at her while she studies. That's what you did before you got married. You sat in the dumb class and stared at her during the whole class. That's why you flunked algebra. But sit down and listen. This is such a simple little study. I almost apologize for bringing it, except I know what I'm talking about. It'll change your life. Everything that you can, that you're doing alone, you figure out some way you can do it together. Now, I'm going to say this, I'll close. Your husband comes and says, "Hey, you know, here's something right here. We could do this together." Now, don't you dare say, "Oh, that's silly. I'll help him find another wife." I'm just kidding. But I'm saying, don't say that.
if he has some kind of an idea where you can spend some time together, boy, I mean, even if you don't have a good idea, fake it. And if your wife comes and says the same thing, you do everything you can to spend time together in as many different settings as possible. Ask your question. Have you ever seen your husband work? Have you ever seen him at his profession? If your husband's a carpenter, have you ever seen him hang some drywall? Have you ever watched him? You may be surprised how much you just enjoy watching that fella. And you may learn to appreciate him too, by the way. Every woman ought to see her husband ply his trade. That's easy for Miss Hiles, because I'm plying my trade right now. But for you guys that are plumbers, so you wives have never seen your husband at his trade. I've been at this business for a long, long time. There's not a man who's lived since Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden who has spent more time counseling with as many people as I have. I know what I'm talking about. And when couples come in and are having trouble, most of the time, they don't know each other. They just don't know each other. Now, if you have children, the younger they are, the harder it's going to be. But I said, this is top. This is the top priority. The top priority of your home should be the time that you spend with your spouse. Shall we stand, please?